the weekly headlines. Rising voices in real world radio. To Rising Voices. Today is Friday and we are here with Mercedes in the studio. This is our 32nd edition. Good morning, how are you?
Good morning, how are you?
And well, we have a special show today. We have a contact with our correspondent in Madrid, Jose Losegui. But first we're going to read the main headlines of the week.
Marcy Kieber, Clean Vessels Campaign Director of Friends of the Earth US.
Plus Petrol Resource Corporation and Dutch State accused before the Permanent People's Tribunal.
Effects on Madeira Electricity Complex to be exposed at the Permanent People's Tribunal.
Syngenta's abuses in Brazil exposed.
Montana Exploradora Mining Corporation in Guatemala accused of several charges.
Well, and as we were mentioning, we have a contact with our correspondent in Madrid, Jose Losegui. He's taking part in the Permanent People's Tribunal that is part of the People's Summit that is being held in parallel to the Summit of Heads of State and Government that is taking place in Madrid, Spain. Hello, Jose. Can you hear us?
Hello, Mercedes. It's good to hear you. Well, my greetings to the other Mercedes also and the people there in Hello.
Well, thank you for being in our show today. And, well, I know that the tribunal has just started, but can you tell us a little bit about, well, what has been going on so far and what are the expectations for the rest of the week?
Yes, okay. Yes, the Permanent People's Tribunal today, Friday, here in Madrid, the capital city of Spain. We have had the first several cases against European corporations which work in different areas. We have agribusiness corporations, we have water companies, we have also companies which dedicate to petroleum, mining area, companies which are being, which were taken to this by different social movements, social organizations which are working together, presenting, doing the presentation of these cases in the tribunal. It started today. It's going to be ending tomorrow. We have these 2 days of the people, permanent people's tribunal, and then we have the rest of the linking alternatives activities. We enlazando alternativas, we say in Spanish. I'm not sure how to say it in English, but it's going to be on Monday and Tuesday. We will still have the different workshops, conferences, press conferences also, which are going to take place here in Madrid in these 5-6 days of activities. First, as I said, the Permanent People's Tribunal, and then the Enlazando Alternativas meets everything with social movements and social organizations, social networks from mainly from Europe, Latin America, and the Caribbean.
Perhaps we should give a little background about what the tribunal is, and also what this initiative, Linking Alternatives, so Enlazando Alternativas, is about. This is actually the fourth edition of Linking Alternatives, and I believe this is, well, there have been other editions of the Permanent People's Tribunal, but the main ones were in Vienna and in Lima. Real World Radio was covering these previous events. But can you explain a little bit what this tribunal is about, and also this whole initiative of Linking Alternatives?
Yeah, Linking Alternatives is organized by a network which is called also Linking Alternatives, and which joins social movements and social organizations, as I said, from Europe, Latin America, and the Caribbean. This has been a process. We are now in this fifth experience of the Permanent People's Tribunal. This tribunal particularly is it has no legal result. It is really no. It really doesn't have legal results. I mean, the decisions that are made by the jury do not have legal consequences. Really, it's a process organized by the social movements, with the objective of putting into the public knowledge, make known by everybody what are the main actors of the European nations in the south of the world. I mean, it doesn't have real results, but it's an ethic jury, it's an ethic tribunal, a moral tribunal also, which talks about the activities of the European corporations in our regions, in South America, in North America, in Central America, and the Caribbean. So the objective, as I said, is to put clear, to put on the table what's being done by the European corporations in our regions.
How many cases are being presented before this tribunal?
Yeah, it's really a lot. There are 27 cases, so we have lots of corporations which are in the chair of the accused people, as we could say. In the morning we have had like 7-8 cases. We're having more now in the afternoon. Then we will have questions done by different people who are part of the jury. And tomorrow we're going to have the rest. On Monday in the morning, we are going to have the results taken, the decisions taken by the jury, which, as I said, are not legally binding, but they are these moral decisions about the activity of the European corporations. I mean, there are 27 cases, and I mean, that's a lot. It's very important for the social movements, because they really think that it is a strong tool that they have to fight against neoliberalism, against capitalism, and the different behaviors taken by the companies, the European companies.
And do you have an idea of how many people are expected in this event, more or less?
We are around 400 people here, but really they are expecting much more than this, and we should see what happens in the next days with the activities of Link Alternatives.
Well, thank you very much, Jose, for being in our show today, and of course we will be having more news and reports from Madrid in the next week.
Yes, they are doing several interviews here. Most of the people speak Spanish, but Real World Radio has an important presence here, and we are trying to have interviews of all the cases, and we are uploading it in our webpage today, tomorrow, and the days after. So I hope people like it, and thank you very much for being in touch and in contact with us here.
Well, thank you very much, Jose. We'll keep in touch. Goodbye. Bye.
Until the clouds unroll and you come down the line but the shadow still remains since your descent
Voices, Real World Radio's live show.
We were listening to U2 and Green Day with The Saints Are Coming, and we chose this song because it's related with Hurricane Katrina and the Gulf Coast region. We're going to share with you an interview with Marcy Kiever. She's the Clean Vessels Campaign Director of Friends of the Earth US. We called her to tell us a little bit about what happened in, well, as you know, there was this environmental disaster caused by the sinking of an oil well in the Gulf Coast. And Friends of the Earth US launched an ad that was shown on the US television to raise awareness about the situation and also as a way of criticizing the fossil fuels based economy and offshore drilling specifically. And this is also related to an energy bill that is being discussed right now in the US. So Marcy is going to tell us about this.
Well, Real World Radio is interviewing Marcy Kiever. She's a Clean Vessels Campaign Director of Friends of the Earth US. She's based in San Francisco. Marcy, can you tell us about the recent ad that Friends of the Earth launched regarding the oil spill in the Gulf Coast in the US?
Sure. Thanks for contacting me. We launched an ad focusing on the previous calls for more offshore oil drilling in the United States, and the mantra or the chant was "Drill, baby, drill," and we had come out then and now against increased offshore oil drilling in the United States, and unfortunately, with the oil spill that has happened in the Gulf, we are really seeing that offshore oil drilling doesn't mean drill, baby, drill. It means spill, baby, spill. And we wanted to get that out there and make it clear to people that that was the wrong direction for the country and the world. We also did an action alert asking people to sign on and ask the Obama administration in the United States to institute a moratorium on expanded offshore oil drilling immediately. And at this point, over 20,000 people have signed on asking the president to put a ban on new offshore oil drilling in the U.S.
This is also part of a campaign that you are part of that's also related with, I believe, with the energy bill that is about to be passed in the U.S. It's being discussed in the U.S. Can you tell us a little bit about the bill and what it implies?
Yes. We had come out against the administration's plans for increased offshore oil drilling in the beginning of April before the spill in the Gulf. And now the latest bill on climate bill that's come out from Senator Kerry and Senator Lieberman includes expanded offshore oil drilling in a bill that is supposed to be working towards reducing contribution and impacts of climate change. And so we had heard rumors of this before the bill came out. The bill just came out yesterday, and we're seeing kind of the same typical proposals from Congress or these two congressmen that we're just going to expand offshore oil drilling in a bill that's supposed to be cleaning up.
There's another issue that you point out in Friends of the Earth website. That's about the giveaways to the oil industry that apparently this bill continues, this policy. Can you explain what are these giveaways?
Well, this will in particular that is owned by BP, was actually allowed to drill. They're not paying any royalties on this particular well. And so the government is subsidizing their very, very risky behavior. And with the climate bill, that would continue. And we would continue to see the oil industry supporting. The oil industry has actually come out in support of the climate bill because it would subsidize their continued and expanded offshore oil drilling in this country.
And this happens also with other corporations, not just BP?
Not just BP. There are at least, kind of the top five, Shell Oil, Chevron, ExxonMobil, they're all implicated in this because it would allow oil drilling across the board from those large companies and others.
That was Marcy Kiever from Friends of the Earth US. Well, she was explaining what happened with the oil spill in the U.S., and that this is also part of a larger campaign of Friends of the Earth U.S. It's not just because of this particular environmental disaster that happened once again in the Gulf Coast, but as part of a bigger policy or campaign. First of all, they are trying to push for the government to put a moratorium on oil drilling. They have been very open about, against the offshore drilling and all the consequences, like the one that just happened in the Gulf Coast. And also, this is also related with a campaign against the oil corporations, but she elaborated a little bit about that and, well, what would be BP's responsibility in this case.
It's been 22 days at this point since the well, I think now we're on day 23, since the well exploded and sank. It started on April 20th. And at first it was said that there wasn't any oil spilling into the water. The well is at 5,000 feet down on the floor of the Gulf. And so it's extremely difficult to even know what's happening down there.
Are you doing any campaign against BP, or are you exposing the corporation out there as part of this campaign?
We're trying to. I think us and many other organizations are calling for more information to be released from BP. They have a history of imposing stronger mandatory offshore oil drilling regulations in this country, and I'm sure it has happened in other countries. We had stronger regulations proposed last year, and they, along with other oil companies, opposed them. And, it's not just BP. We're also seeing Transocean and Halliburton called out for their participation in the drilling and the safety on this well. And so we're just beginning to see and figure out what happened, and all of these the CEOs are testifying before Congress, and the litigation and the finger pointing and the blame is being passed around, but BP is considered the responsible party, so at this point they will be responsible for the majority of the costs of the cleanup.
Well, there's also this problem because you have the Oil Pollution Act that caps the financial liability of a spill at $75 million. So I believe that if BP is actually found responsible, they won't be forced to pay more than that. Are you pushing for a change in this bill?
There are already movement in Congress, and I think actually yesterday from the Obama administration to increase that cap, and that cap is separate from, initially BP is the responsible hard party and has to pay for all of they're called hard costs of the cleanup. So anywhere the oil touches and has to get cleaned up, they have to pay for that, and I do not think there is a limit. But beyond that, then there's the kind of the next tier of liability. So, if you're fishing, if you're a fishing boat and you can't fish, or if you have a tourism enterprise and you no one comes and you lose money from your business or your tourism, or if your property is damaged, that's where that $75 million comes in. There again, movement in Congress to try to up that amount and also try to make the fact retroactive.
Exactly.
So that BP would be, the cap would be raised and BP would be responsible for a higher level of liability. Friends of the Earth has had campaigns for many years calling for better, safer alternatives to oil, use of oil in this country and the use of fossil fuels in general. We're talking about better, cleaner energy investments, investments in wind and solar, better fuel economy standards and improvements in public transportation, plug-in cars. We have a variety of ways that we see we can move forward in this country and around the world to a cleaner, better energy future. And one of those ways would be to immediately put a moratorium and a ban on any future oil drilling. we have a petition on our website at foe.org, and you can raise your voices with tens of thousands of others asking for a ban on offshore oil drilling in this country from now into the future.
Well, that was Marcy Kiver from Friends of the Earth US, and she was just explaining, besides this particular incident of the oil spill in the Gulf Coast, well, that Friends of the Earth US has been promoting alternative energies for some years now. They have campaigns to promote investment in wind and solar energy. And one of the main concerns has been that the Obama administration has been pushing for projects of offshore oil drilling besides, well, the nuclear energy projects that they have been pushing. So this is also a campaign to, well, push the government to promote other policies, other, well, alternatives to this model of fossil fuel and, well, oil drilling.
Sure, these campaigns are extremely important to raise awareness not only on people but also on the government, that they have a huge role in preventing this kind of things from happening, and also from choosing alternative energy models that so we can not only not depend on fossil fuels but other types of energy, and, well, for instance, promoting public transportation or improving streets so that people can ride bicycles and use other means of transport.
Exactly. That is part of this campaign of Friends of the Earth US, and you can go to their website. Well, also you can take action to raise awareness about what has been happening in the Gulf Coast. One of the problems that we mentioned last week was that, for instance, BP was paying people in Alabama so that they would not sue them. They wanted to work in the cleanup, and in order to do that, they made them sign a contract, and they gave them some money so that the people wouldn't sue BP. The government has said, the U.S. government has said that BP is responsible, that there is no doubt about that. And Marcy was explaining that even though there's this cap, that's part of the Oil Pollution Act, that caps the amount of money that the corporations have to pay, BP still has to pay for the cleanup. That's all its responsibility. I think it will take some time for that region to recover, and it has huge repercussions. I mean, I think people may not be able to tell right now exactly, but...
And not only environmental, but economic, people who depend on fishing and who can't do that anymore. And
yeah, well, I invite you to go to the Friends of the Earth US website. That's foeus.org, and check out their ad about this. I think it's very eloquent. Well, now we're going to listen to our song, and we'll be right back with more stories about the Permanent People's Tribunal.
Hit me on my banner, prepaid wireless. just pumping my gas. Yeah, I got more records than the KGB. So, no funny business. You already are. Rising Voices. Real World Radio's live show.
That was MIA with Paper Planes. And, well, now we're going to get a little bit more into the cases that were filed before the Permanent People's Tribunal. Well, our correspondent there was explaining a little bit what this tribunal is about. And, well, there are 27 cases filed in 2 days of tribunal, so I think they will have a hard work. I had the chance to participate in one of these tribunals, but, well, it was a very short session in Guatemala as part of the America Social Forum. And, well, it's basically, it works like a regular, you know, like a normal tribunal. You have a jury, the cases are filed there, and, well, people present the cases and their witnesses talking, and, well, the people that are directly affected. For instance, in the case of Nemagon in Nicaragua, the people who had been affected by Nemagon in the banana plantations, they were explaining, well, the health impacts that this activity had. And, well, that's more or less how it proceeds. And then the final day, the tribunal reaches a verdict, and, well, they say if the corporation is guilty and on what charges, etc. But as Jose was mentioning, the rulings are not legally binding. So it's basically a tool to push the governments and also to have a different attitude towards the corporations that are committing these abuses. Let's remember that we're talking about corporations from Europe acting in Latin America. So basically it's, well, to push the governments to take action and also to raise awareness, because a lot of people don't know that this is happening.
Yes, to give visibility to these things that are happening, and that, well, corporations are not blamed for this.
Yes, they go unpunished. I mean, it's like they have total impunity. And, well, we chose some cases. We have stories of many different cases. You can go to our website and you can check them there. We've been posting every day, I think, a different case. And we chose just some of them. And, well, the first one is about the human rights abuses against the Quechua people in the Peruvian Amazon by, well, it's an Argentinian corporation that is actually based in the Netherlands. It's Plus Petrol Resource Corporation, ENVI, that's the name of the corporation. So the Peruvian state established a police control system on the neighboring indigenous communities of Plus Petrol operations. So in order to protect the corporation, but, well, of course they were violating the fundamental rights of the indigenous peoples. And this is part of the, well, a summary of the case that was filed before the Permanent People's Tribunal. Well, Plus Petrol is worth 3.6 billion euros, and the problem is that since it is a corporation, there is not much information about the shareholders of the company's, headquarters that's in the Netherlands. So according to the National Commission for the Surveillance of Corporations and Stocks of Peru, a financial corporation that's called Centennial Partners would control the company with 85% of the total shares. I mean, that's some information that comes from this agency in Peru, but there's not much information about who's getting the money or like who is the main shareholder. The accusation also applies to the Dutch state in this case for letting this corporation carry out these practices in its home country to benefit from its tax laws. And this also implies an illegitimate transfer of resources from the south to the north to the detriment of the least advantaged people, in the case the Quechua indigenous. So this is one of the cases that exemplifies how these corporations operate. Usually they are European corporations acting through a subsidiary in Latin America, and also with the help or the, you know, being of the governments, of the local governments.
Yes, one thing that these cases have in common is that they are not only accusing corporations but also the governments or the European Union, because most of these companies are European, and they are accusing them for their complicity and for protecting these corporations in order to get profit from them, disregarding any environmental or social studies carried out in Latin America and how these corporations and how the activities of these corporations are affecting this continent.
Yes, exactly. Well, and we have two similar cases. We try to select some from different places, and the second one is from Brazil, and it's about Syngenta.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the Brazilian Terra de Direitos, which is an organization that works in defense of human rights, and also Via Campesina Brazil, are the ones who are going to submit a case against Syngenta, which is this agribusiness giant. They are also accusing the European Union and the World Trade Organization for their complicity. Syngenta is a Swiss company, and according to Terra de Direitos and Via Campesina Brazil, the Syngenta's GM maize was authorized in Brazil in 2007. So this is something that is going on for a few years now. The authorizations, the government provided these authorizations and permit without taking into account any kind of environmental study assessments. And the consequences that this was going to have on the production system of peasants and indigenous communities, because if these models and if these corporations are imposed on them, they are not willing, they are not able to choose their own production systems and how to use their own resources.
Yeah. Well, this is a big problem. Syngenta is a renowned agribusiness corporation for its genetically modified crops. In this case, it's maize, and there is also an issue of land grabbing involved here, because they take over a lot of territory that's from the communities to have this monoculture plantations, and also there's a risk of contamination that they, with this genetically modified maize, they will be contaminating the organic or
the native seeds that these peasant communities produce and care about, and they are going to be contaminated by this transgenic, having enormous consequences for them.
Yeah. So, well, this is another case that we'll be following up and see what the tribunal has to say. Well, and that will be all for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. I invite you to continue following up this coverage of the Permanent People's Tribunal that has just begun, but we will have a lot of material for next week, and hopefully we will be reporting about other cases and about the results of what happened, the verdict of the tribunal, in our next show.
Yes, and if you want more information about other cases, there are many other reports on Real World Radio's website.
Yeah, that's right. So we invite you to check that out. And, well, we'll have our last song. That's by Jan Tiersen. He's, I'm sure most people know him because of he did the soundtrack for the Amelie, the wonderful Amelie film, the French movie with Audrey Tautou. And he's visiting Uruguay very soon, so we're very excited to have him here. So this song is Summer of 78 by Jan Tiersen. Until next week.